What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys for tuning in, as always. First things first, if you are a first-time listener, I'm going to be talking some shit. I'm going to be talking about myself. That is just what I've been doing for 124 episodes now. So you don't have to tell me about why I shouldn't do it, because I don't give a fuck what you say. But if you're a weekly listener, you know the deal. If you're not pitching in, pitch in. There's no harm in giving us $1 per episode by going to patreon.com, patreon.com/kindaneat and pledging $1 per episode. You newbies are going, ew, the first thing you did was ask for money. Hey, eat a dick, bruh. We don't make that much money off it. We don't got sponsors. We don't got ads. We do that to keep it fucking rent-free around here, but we do ask for the support of the people because we want to empower the people to give us a dollar per episode. Go to patreon.com/kindaneat. If you want to fast forward past all this bullshit, do so until you hear a beat. And that's when we're going to get into the conversation with this week's guests, Speak and Dream Panther. Together, they are Speak Panther, and they have a new record coming out. They have a new record that just came out on February 24th, because today, in theory, is March 1st. But it is actually, for me as I'm recording it, February 16th. So that's a little context. That's a little context about real time and what we're doing here. We record a couple weeks in advance, you know. Last week, you guys saw the Earth Gang episode. This week, you're seeing the Speak Panther episode. Next week, we will have more guests on a roll. I'm feeling like we're on a roll. We're on a roll. Fantastic. 2017, getting lit. What has happened today, as I was on my way over here, like before, the president, the evil orange Cheeto villain, was having his first solo press conference as the president, I think, maybe. And Jesus Christ, how can people like this dude? Like, how can you listen to this man speak and go, I am so happy that he's leading our country? His sentences never make sense. He doesn't complete sentences. He'll get onto one idea, interrupt himself in the middle of the idea, go off on a complete tangent, and then try to come back full circle to the original idea. But at that point, it no longer makes any sense. It's crazy listening to him talk. He talks like, I just don't understand how anyone can appreciate his manner of speech and find him to be well-spoken or have some sort of intimidating intellect or some sort of superior intellect that makes him qualified to be the leader of the country. Listening to him speak is just like listening to the ramblings of a madman, and I don't understand how anyone could find it appealing. So I was watching that, and thankfully a few reporters did a good job calling him out, and he's been bragging incessantly about how 306 electoral votes, no one said we could do it, da-da-da-da-da. Like, this is his accomplishment as the president, is that he got 306 electoral college votes. But lo and behold, your boy Barack Obama got fucking 335 in his second election, I believe. So like, he's been blowing people out the water. So I don't understand why 306 is anything to brag about. So this motherfucker's out here calling everybody fake news while giving us these alternative facts. But Kinda Neaters, we see through that shit. We see through the bullshit. And let me tell you, today on the podcast, talking to my man Greg and talking to my man Anthony, Dream Panther and Speak, we go off on some fucking political tangents. It's going to be happening. I'm sorry, the tone of the podcast is changing because I'm feeling like the country is getting flushed down the shitter into a downward spiral, and so I can't help it. We're going tangential, and we are going into the fucking politics zone, and so you're going to hear people that, like, pay attention, but aren't that. We're no political experts by any means, but if you want to go listen to a great political podcast, go listen to Pod Save America by Crooked Media and get a little more informed, because you've got former speechwriters for Obama that are running a really great podcast that is super politically intense. So we're not experts, but we are passionate about these things, and we get into it, and we get into it. And if you don't like that, fuck you. We're doing it anyway. Free entertainment. But yeah, nothing has happened in the last 2 days since I recorded the last episode, so I don't have any great stories to tell that I can think of off the top of my head. I just spent the whole day with Speak and Greg, who are fantastic dudes. I've known Anthony Speak since he was 17, when he was an obnoxious child catching a ride to San Francisco in the back of my Chevy Blazer, my two-door Chevy Blazer that was tan. Very sporty. It was very sporty. We drove to San Francisco for a battle. And that was when I first met him. It was when he was in a group called Soul Rock Affiliates. So I have seen this man transform more than a fucking GoBot. And it's crazy. I've known him for almost half of his life now. And I've seen him continually evolve. And always impressive, always malleable, and able to sound grounded in the fundamentals of rap music whilst remaining constantly on the cutting edge. And constantly on trend. And I heard the new record, the Speak Panther record, and it is no different than that. It's a nice stylistic, cohesive jump forward. And it's good to be doing it this long and continuing to progress is a strong trait. So, that being said, I'm just going to get into the conversation. We got Dream Panther and Speak on this show. And, you know, Speak's a rapper and Greg's a producer, and so obviously the conversation is going to be filled more by one of them than the other. I'm sure you can guess which one, wouldn't STFU, but it was fun. It was very fun talking to these guys. I like them, and hopefully you have a good time with this one. So without further ado, this is my conversation with Dream Panther and Speak, otherwise known as Speak Panther. What the fuck, guys? You guys got a record coming out.
We have a record coming out. Speak Panther.
Speak Panther. Two former Kinda Neat guests, like just impregnating each other's musical landscapes with beautiful babies. How did this magic relationship begin?
Greg, do you want to
talk to me, Greg?
Talk to him, Greg. Talk to that Greg. Sexy Panther voice of yours.
Yeah. It started when Speak came back to LA after a stint in Mexico.
Not a stint. I live there.
Well, yeah, at the time, it was kind of a stint because it was very early on. It was like the first 6 months or
like
something.
6 months into it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and it wasn't just because I wanted to come back after 6 months. It's because my visa expired after 6 months. So I'm like, okay, this is the joke. You leave before, like, a day before your visa expires.
Right.
Like, 5 months and 29 days. You come back, you do some shows, you make some money, and then 4 days later, you go back to Mexico and they give you another 6 months.
Really?
So that you make the money, then you take it to Mexico. Donald Trump's biggest fears. Fuck all y'all. Fuck the IRS. Nobody's freezing my accounts. You don't even know where my accounts are. Ha, ha, ha.
So yeah, basically, I'm his LA contact money man. So he launders all the money through me. He comes up every six months.
DJ Vlad interview? You're out here fucking spilling the beans.
I know, you guys are dry snitching right now.
No, I'm just
like,
kidding.
Hello.
None of that shit happens.
Hello, IRS? Yeah. I have Speak in the studio right
now.
Yo,
the IRS came after me and I beat them.
The IRS came after me and I am not beating them.
Oh, this is how I know, like, I'm really, like, you know, hashtag blessed. Because I've sued and successfully beaten Sony in court, and I've beaten the IRS when they try to get me on a bogus audit. Like, I'm undefeated right now.
I'm the
Floyd Mayweather of legal battles.
You're the
46 have tried, 46 have failed.
The legal shoulder roll.
Yeah, I don't, like, I have not lost a court case. Yeah. We suing everybody.
So, wait, what made you move to Mexico, Speak? How many years ago has it been now?
It's only been like a year, like in 4 months. Okay. But what happened was...
Yeah, I see that. This is the thing. Like, this is why I wasn't sure how long you're going to be down there for. Because and Caleb were living together. And
in the Flower District?
Yeah, in Skid Row,
Hell.
And when they left, Speak went to Mexico and Caleb went to Detroit. So,
it's just like that, like... You know, the thing was, we were just finishing up Sex Quest 3.
Yeah.
And, like, 2 days before, they flew me out to do, like, Sway in the Morning and, like, Fashion Week. And, like, that was a weird time because, like, all of a sudden it was like, oh, it's, like, cool to be, like, it's, like.
Who flew you out?
I got flown out by the Sway Show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They just do that?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was like that. Special, I thought it was just like, if you're in New York, come through type of thing.
No, it was a... You might have to admit that because I don't know if people are allowed to know that.
Oh, well. They know it now.
No. So anyway, yeah. I went out to New York to do Sway, but like 2 days prior to that, I seen like this dude die like literally outside my door. Like a homeless dude.
Oh, downtown?
Yeah, like he had like fallen and hit his head like...
Ugh.
Like right outside my like door, people, and that'd be the thing. We'd open the door sometimes, and there would just be like junkies like having seizures outside our door, or like people fighting or gunshots. And, I'm like,
oh, you guys didn't live in a good.
They literally lived in the thick of it. I'll never forget. I went over their house one night, and I was looking out the kitchen window, and like they, you know, the window overlooked this alley, and you could see down like the adjacent street because it was like near a corner. And I swear there was like 3 or 4 groups of people. Like 4 or 5 people deep, and they all had like the lighter torch, like, you know, like 1.5 inches, 2 inches high, and they're all just smoking crack.
Smoking crack.
Like, in like, there was like 3 or 4
hookers
groups.
Sucking like dudes' dicks next to my roommate's car.
Right there,
like, it was weird. So
I went there one time. I can't really remember why. Maybe just to hang out.
To buy crack.
Nah.
Tell your listeners. just tell them.
I did not buy crack.
That's why my hair fell out. I love crack.
I don't buy crack. I get my crack for free. Come on. I was at that apartment and it wasn't in the nicest of neighborhoods.
No.
Oh, I know why I went over there. I think it was because was I picking you up to go to San Francisco or something like that? Nah.
Yeah, because we had a show. Yeah. We had a show. So, yeah. So what happened was I seen a dude like collapse and crack his skull outside my apartment. And you know, that area is starting to get like hella gentrified, like the fashion district. And I just seen, like, people literally, like hipster dudes just, like, step over this guy as he's bleeding to death and no one's helping him. And I, like, this is a true story. I called the fucking paramedics and they came. And I had seen people, like, get fucked up. I've seen people get stabbed before. But I think that was just kind of, like, the straw that, like, because you have this realization, like, yo, what the fuck am I doing? Like,
right.
I'm making decent money, but I'm paying so much, like, to live in a shithole, you know. And stuff like this is happening, and there's just a disconnect between people who have and people who do not, and people that do not have. Right. And I was just like, really, like mentally, I was just drained. So my lease, that was in September. My lease was up in October. I ended up going to New York for a month, making hella music, doing press, like just re-energizing. And from New York, I went straight to Mexico City to do an event for Red Bull Music, and. I got a lot of love from the media people, and my dad's from there, so I was like, I hadn't been back since I was 13. I'm just like, yo, I'm feeling this. My lease is up. I'm going to have my homies pack up my apartment and send me what I need. I'm just going to stay here. And everyone's like, you can't do that. And I'm like,
When you told me that, I was kind of like, yeah, that won't last. That's what I thought. But now, like, it seems very real now.
Yeah, like my life is there, like my relationships. My work, I throw a big ass fucking party there. Like my friendships are there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm collaborating with artists from there. It's like my life is there. Like, you know, like people have their routines. Like wherever city you're in, like I have my routines there. Like I get up, I fucking work on music. I drink my fucking fresh squeezed juice from the juice stand, and it's not like a fucking $30 green juice. It's like, no, it's like 15 pesos, less than a dollar. And they squeeze for a liter of fucking juice, they squeeze in front of you.
Mm.
I drink that, take my stroll around the neighborhood, make some beats, hustle a little bit. And it's just like, my life is there. And that's what brought me there, the energy. But like the true, like eureka moment is during that trip, we were hanging out with, a bunch of graffiti artists and people who supply the graffiti artists with Montana spray paint. Because in every other country you go to, you realize, like, the culture of hip-hop and rap is still, like, you know, cats still battle and breakdance. And, like, a city like Mexico City, there's, like, the writing culture is super heavy. The whole city looks like a fucking – there's murals. It looks like a whole art gallery, like, more so than New York even. It's fucking dope. So – the homies who are street artists and work in street art took me, Gopi, and DJ Alfalfa to the pyramids, and we were all on mushrooms, and it was hot as fuck. Hot, dry, you're in the middle of the fucking sun, and we start climbing the pyramid of the moon, and, you know, and it's hot, hot. And right when I got to the top, and I kid you not, this is like not a joke, like the clouds came and thunder, and it just starts pouring rain after we scaled the top of the pyramids. And I'm already fucking tripping out of my mind. It was just like a very like surreal spiritual moment. And I was just like, and I told Gopi, I'm like, Gopi, it's a sign. I have to stay here, because I was already contemplating it. And Gopi's like, yeah, it's a fucking great idea. Just fucking stay here and don't fucking ask me for nothing, man. Just do it. Just be far away from me. I'm tired of you asking me for shit. And I'm like, so I stayed, fell in love with the city, fell in love in the city.
Yeah.
You know, like, and the city inspired the new album.
Right.
So it's just like, just living.
Right. Well, Greg, give us an update. What have you been doing since the last time you were on Kind of Neat?
I don't know.
Oh, I bought some new sweats.
I bought some new sweats.
Hey, Greg, you do have some nice sweatpants.
Thanks. I didn't even buy them. Like, I get all.
The plug.
Not even.
Sweat plug.
Yeah, no, I just like, get clothes for free most of the time. Like, not even from cool places, just like for my family and my baby mama. Yeah, for my mom and shit. Like, you know, there's.
Wait, baby mama, did you have a kid last time we talked?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
Yo, his kid is 18 years old.
No, she's at UCLA doing good. Like, I'm not joking. Like, I'm not joking. She's real smart, you know? She has a feature on one of the songs.
Yeah.
She's on one of the songs.
She's on the song we're going to perform later.
She's like super scientific, magical.
She's like more like the brains, you know, behind the whole thing. She came up with the hook and the title.
I can't tell what's happening. So, how old is your daughter?
She's 8.
Okay, so she came up with the hook.
She did. No.
She's hot.
No, shut the fuck up, dude.
How is she 8? You were so young then.
Not really.
Wait, did we talk about this on our episode?
Greg is 16. I think so, maybe. Greg had his kid when he was 8.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit.
I think I wasn't trying to like pry into it though, but
yeah. You know, it's tough, you know, like it's a little rocky up and down, you know, with baby mamas and stuff, but like, you know, it's all love, so.
You guys keep it cool?
Yeah, we keep it cool.
That's tight.
Yeah, I do it for the family, man. Yeah. Family first.
It's a family affair.
Over bullshit, always.
You know? Family. Group of juggalos up in here.
Oh, buddy.
Since we last spoke, then you've been just like living and working and doing what?
Just like making music, man. Yeah. Just like trying to expand a little bit. I've been getting more into like visual art.
Visual art in what sense? Painting?
Painting and just like design.
How's that going?
It's cool. It's good. I've been really dropping the ball on the painting biz, but looking to get into that, dig into that more.
Right. I always say like LA is the land where like you talk to people and don't know how they pay their rent. Like, do you have a job out here?
Yeah, I have a part-time job.
Do you want to talk about it or no?
Not really.
Okay,
I mean, it's cool. Like, I don't, like, it's not, like, it's nothing shady or anything. Like, it's fine. You know, like, it keeps me fed. And that's, like, I guess, like, the most important thing that, like, it does, you know? Because, like, I don't like eating trash food, you know? Like, I'll do every now and then, you know, just because, like, whatever.
Right.
But for the most part, like, I really don't, you know. So, like, you know, that's, like, the one thing. I just like eating nice, like, bougie-ass food. I know, like, Speak and Caleb and everybody's like, oh, you know, like, how lazy are you? You can't, like, smear some avocado on a toast, you know? But, like, I'm just, like, I can't do it.
Wait, you don't like avocado toast?
No, I do. Brushes
his teeth with caviar.
I do. It's just, like, it's, like, really hard for me to, like, prepare food and, like.
You don't like to cook?
Nah, like, it's just too much.
You know what's funny is that every morning I wake up and make my girl avocado toast with a fried egg on it over easy, and I crush it. It's, like, photogenic, beautiful, like, it's, like.
That's what I need.
It's,
I need,
like, $14 avocado hipster hipster avocado toast, and it really only costs about $2 to make.
I know, but see, like, if I did that, like, then it just, like, spirals in, like, the rest of my life just, like, goes out of whack and like everything just turns into a big mess.
Oh, see, I have to cook in the morning as part of my process. Like, that's my catharsis in the morning to center myself. Wake up, go to the gym on my Tony Robbins shit, come home, make that healthy smoothie, and then get to work. You feel me? By like 10 o'clock, I'm like ready and raring to go. Yeah. Well, so what else? Who else have you been working with besides Speak?
I don't know, man. I can't keep track. It's been a while since we talked.
You and Caleb were like really banging shit out for a while after our, because I had Caleb on the show, then I had you on the show, and then you guys started working together as Dream Panther. And you guys were like working with everybody. Like Caleb is a very energetic person.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Caleb Stone is who we're talking about. I think he was like episode somewhere in the 30s or 40s, if you guys want to go back and look. Was it something new to you to be working with a lot of rappers?
Initially, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was mostly just like doing producing for me. So
right.
That was like a new experience.
Who were some of the standouts you worked with? Besides Speak. You don't even know, huh?
Yeah, dude. Like, I don't know. Because, like, I didn't. Well, yeah, Father.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. You did one of my favorite Father songs, actually.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, I love that song. What was it called again, Speak? You probably know it.
Nagasaki.
Nagasaki. That's a fantastic song. I remember retweeting that one.
Production credits.
Right.
Yeah. It's just, I guess, for the past, like, 6 months or so, a little over, like, 6-8 months, I kind of been, like, focusing more on my shit.
Right.
So
new Dream Panther stuff coming soon as well?
Yeah, I got a lot of shit on deck. It's pretty much done, you know, just like waiting for the Speak stuff to be out and then, you know, to get rich off of Speak.
Yeah, waiting to ride my coattails all the way to glory and stardom and frivolous groupie sex.
So how long was it after Speak moved when Caleb moved then? Did he move to Detroit right after or right when Speak?
Caleb was gone first.
Oh, really?
Maybe. I don't know. It was pretty much like the same time.
Caleb moved out a month before our lease was up, and then he bounced to Detroit.
Yeah, and then like Speak was, yeah, the next month after
I'm like, okay,
that, so.
I'm going to Mexico.
Were you guys still working together via email and shit like that or no?
We still like send each other shit all the time. Like we basically share everything we make.
Okay.
So like, you know, we just share what we make, share like how we did it, like what kind of music we're into, what wave we're on basically. Right, so.
Right. You're born and raised in Mid-City, right?
Yeah.
Still out there?
Yep.
Yeah, sick. Shout out Mid-City. Still on the block. So
this is on the block Marvin Gaye was shot.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Marvin Gaye died.
I remember you telling me that.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's very historic.
Yeah.
What's the daily life like in Mexico?
For like my routine or just...
Sure, like, yeah.
Usually, I think it's kind of dope because we're on Central Time.
Mm-hmm.
So I got like a 2-hour jump on
California.
I'm usually up at like I'm up by 9.
Right.
Take a stroll around the block, have a juice, smoke a little bit of weed. And I've been making a lot of beats like in the last like year and a half. Like I got like crazy beats.
On
Ableton.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a little home set up. Like I could do a little work at the crib, track in like a big room if I need to. But I like working out of home, like comfortable. Watch a lot of football, a lot of soccer. You know, I might hit the poker tables, play some cards. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really an international
superstar.
Not superstar. Like I'm just like living like this real like cosmopolitan like playboy.
Yeah, international,
life.
Yeah, playboy.
Like
yeah.
You see, like my ex girlfriend, I'm dating like beautiful like women who are like way out of my league.
That, you sound like an Orange County bro, kind of like.
Pretty much,
yeah. I might go to the casino.
Pretty much.
No. For the longest, I mainly work on music.
Online poker.
For the longest, I wanted to call this record "Make Speak Great Again" because I realized he shares a lot of similarities and qualities
but
with.
But I realized
Donald Trump.
You're a fucking liar, and we'll never call the album that.
Yeah, I know.
Let's call it the most cliche thing that's been overplayed for 12 months. Yeah, Greg, great idea. That's why you're not in charge of the marketing. Okay?
All right, calm down, dude.
Yeah, chill out, Press Pantero.
Press fucking... fucking press secretary Spicer over here.
Shut the fuck up. Chill out.
I don't know what I'm doing, but we're gonna do it.
Salt Bay Spicer.
Yeah. No, but Salt Bay. No, I just do a little bit of everything. I do a lot of reading, like devouring fucking books, especially about history and history in Latin America. A lot of stuff about like Latin American politics. Because, like, even though, like, you know a little bit, like, I'm still trying to understand, like the world around me. Like, and I don't take it for granted because I have, like, a music career
that like allows me to like, okay, I could live here and, you know, work here. It's still a different world. Even if you speak the language, it's still a different world. And I'm just trying to like understand what's going on around me. And like, yo, like, fuck, Mexico's fucking fucked up.
Right.
There's a huge disparity in wealth. Like, cats are either have like a lot of money or no money. And it's hard to break out of that. Like, it's super hard. The classism and the corruption, and you're living in a police state. You see police everywhere with AK-47s and Dracos. Not Dracos. They're not on the Dracos. Mm-hmm. Migos haven't popped off yet. No, but like you see the shit around you, and you're trying to understand, like, okay, like I should just like keep my head down, mind my business, not draw attention to myself. But I'm trying to understand why and how.
Have you learned about like local industries at all there? Like what's going on in the city? Like how do people make their money?
Yeah, absolutely. Like they call it like the pelea, like the fight. People are fucking fighting. Like in Mexico. Like, yeah, you see like a lot of like disabled people or like old grandmas or people, you know, who are blind and stuff. Yeah, like people beg, but it's not like there's no equivalent. There's no Mexican equivalent of Skid Row because that's not the Mexican way. You know, like, yeah, there are people who are poor and there are people who are mentally ill and stuff. But like cats, like from young to old, are just fucking hustling, selling shit, trying to make any kind of money they can to take care of themselves and their family. But I mean, like as far as like,
is there a middle class there at all?
Yeah, it's all upper middle class and wealthy, and then like very poor. There's no like, it's not like here, like, oh, the suburbs. It's like, no, if you live in the suburbs, you're considered like wealthy by Mexico standards. Yeah, but learning about the industry, like there's textile manufacturing, of course. There's like Trump is mad about automotive industry. Right. But yeah, because there's huge plants in Mexico. There's like Volkswagen, there's Kia, there's all kinds of shit. But then like the coolest, like the most interesting thing that really fuels like lower class economy, or what would you consider like, you know, the working, sorry, not lower class, that's a fucking working class economy. It's not how I meant it. I'm a little high, guys. Is bootleg and black market, which is supported in conjunction with the Chinese.
So if you want that Speak Panther album, go down to Mexico City right now.
Yeah, it's already on the streets. No, but no, like the Chinese are importing. There's a mad Chinese people in Mexico City because they're importing all kinds, like anything you could think of, like computers, shitty cell phones, bootleg Xbox games, sneakers, bootleg clothing. Like if Kanye drops a shoe on Friday, it's in the mercado on Sunday. Like a bootleg of it. It's fucking insane. And it's just like, oh, the Chinese are clicked up with the Mexicans providing product, and cats are just hustling, selling anything they can. Especially like learned a lot about like bootleg economy. Like we have the song on the new album, like Viva Lagunilla. Lagunilla is in a neighborhood called Tepito, La Barrio Bravo, like the brave neighborhood, because it's like blocks and blocks of open air black market with no police presence. There are police, but police don't do shit there because like they don't want to fuck up the paper, and the gangs really run that shit. And you just see people selling every fucking thing imaginable. You can get anything there, like real shit and bootleg shit. Like, oh, a box of, you know, you want Viagra, someone selling fucking Viagra on the street. You want illegal drugs, you want a fucking a gun. You want to buy used clothes, Blu-ray, DVDs, whatever. Kidney? What's up?
A human kidney.
You probably could. I don't fucking know. Like, it's just, it's really fucking interesting.
What's the food culture like in Mexico City?
Off the fucking hook.
Right.
Off the hook. Like, I always like, of course, like being from Southern California, you know, we have our, it is Mexican food.
But we have diverse Mexican food from all different regions. Like you got Oaxacan Mexican food.
Absolutely. You got shit from the sur to the south. You got like the Norteño style. You got like carnitas de Michoacán. Yeah. Like it's like from all other regions. But like Mexico City, like you know, here in California, you're like, oh yeah, we got good burritos. Like, right. Okay, like, yeah, burritos aren't really like a thing in Mexico City, but like
San Diego is a burrito city. Yeah. I feel like LA is a taco city.
Yeah, Mexico City is a fucking taco city, man. Right. Like, and that's don't splice this so it sounds weird. Yeah, we're in Taco City, make America great. Like, no, food culture wise, Mexico City is like the that's taco. Like the thing. Like, oh, what do you want for lunch? Like, oh, street tacos. Or,
right, you're not going to find, like, a burrito stand.
Yeah, there. And it's not like, oh, the Roach Coach or whatever. Like, don't eat from the Roach Coach. Like, no, the food culture is very street-oriented. Like, yeah. Yo, you're on your break from school or work, yo, hit the taco stand, get a torta. But then, like, you get a lot of, like, good, like, food from, like, South America. South America, Central America, a lot of like Argentinian barbecue, like rotisserie shit, and a lot of traditional Mexican dishes. But now they're trying to.
I used to have a homie that was Argentinian or Argentine. I don't know what you say, yeah. But he his dad would do Argentine barbecue, and he used to love me because I would go to their house and eat like they just give you the fucking tortilla and you just scoop it off the grill with your hand,
fucking slab of fucking meat.
Oh, dude, he would be like, "Oh, Lee, he would thought I was the best because I would just eat and eat and eat and eat."
Yeah,
and
that
eat,
shit's
eat.
Fucking a lot of grilled meats, rotisserie chickens.
I love that shit.
Yeah, that shit is fire. But then like. It's also very, like, progressive, like, cosmopolitan city. So, like, in, like, the trendier neighborhoods, there's a neighborhood called Roma. It's, like, Roma and Condesa is, like, the equivalent of Silver Lake and Echo Park, where it's just like, yeah, it's Mexico. But, like, look, kids, people are drinking iced coffee and walking their little dogs and wearing future hats. And, like, you know, they're drinking cold brews. And, oh, there's fusion cuisine here. Like, I know the licks. Like, I found, like, the fire-ass, like, Thai restaurant in Mexico City. There's like a little bit of everything, but of course, like tacos and traditional Mexican food is off the hook, man.
Is there like a regionally most popular meat there for the tacos, or is it just kind of like a
pastor?
Right? Is it
al pastor? It's like, yeah, it's pastor or like suadero, which is like right by my crib, and I eat this shit like four times a week. I don't give a fuck. They do suadero. And like tripa, like tripe. I don't eat that shit. Intestines, I don't like that shit. But they do like longaniza, which is like a chorizo. Yeah, yeah. But what they do is it's just fried. It's in a big bat, just of oil, just being fried all day. And then you could get like a taco campechano, which is like a mix. They'd be like, yo, give me the campechano. And they're like, okay, they'll fucking chop up the suadero and the longaniza, and they'll put it both in a taco.
Isn't
and,
a campechano a hot drink or something too, or am I totally wrong about that?
That's okay. Champanrada.
Yeah, that's Naga Champa.
Hey, your boy's white as fuck.
Yeah, yeah, but the campechano is just like the mix. So if you go to a taco stand, yeah. Like, oh, give me the campechano, and they'll be like, oh, the mix.
Yeah, yeah. So that like shit is like a smorgasbord.
Yeah, that shit is fire. Also, yeah, people eat like goat tacos, ram tacos.
I love goat.
Yeah, goat is off the hook.
Goat is so good. Is that what is barbacoa usually goat or is it lamb?
No, it's barbacoa is usually it's usually beef.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, when I go to fucking El Torino, their barbacoa there tastes very gamey. And really? I'm always like, oh, I wonder if this is goat. But I don't know.
They might be mixing it up.
Maybe.
But goat is good, lamb is good, and like yo, in like Middle Eastern countries, like cats really be off lamb and goat. Yo, and it's crazy because like pastor in like the Mediterraneans introduced like pastor to Mexico. Really? I learned that, yeah, because it's like, just cause shawarma.
It's like, yeah, shawarma, it's spitfire.
Yeah, it's fucking off the chain, yeah, right? Like the influence is very real.
Right, right. When you go to like a Mediterranean place out here and you see the shawarma, and then you go to fucking Leo's Tacos and you see the al pastor, it looks exactly the fucking same.
But it's just funny, though.
It's just different spices.
You know, here you go to a taco place or a burrito place. You're like, yo, give me the carne asada. But like, you're expecting beef or steak. Like, you go to a place in Mexico City and ask for that, they look at you crazy because that just means grilled meat.
Right.
So like, oh, well, what kind of grilled meat do you want? We have options.
Right.
So. That's funny. It's lit. Yeah, I'm eating good. I'm fucking.
Nightlife out there, what's it like?
Man, very elitist.
Is Mexico big drinkers or what?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Like, we go, like, you're drinking. I drink a lot.
Right.
No, we get, like, cats drink, and it's not just, like, beers or whatever.
Right.
is like a lot of tequila, a lot of mezcal. But the nightlife is dope. It's divided again because the classism is divided into like do you want to go to the equivalent of like a Hollywood club where everyone's in V-necks and like we're like right. like the term is like, oh, you're a fresa, like you're a preppy, you're a rich boy, because like they dress like straight off the Zara mannequin, V-necks, dumbass USPA bubble vest and fucking bootcut jeans.
Ornate jeans.
Yeah, like they're all fucking – and those all those kids who like spend all that money on this shit, they're all fucking asshole rich kids. Like fuck them.
And we have like very sharp lineups and shit.
Yeah, no, like real like pretty boy haircuts. Fuck that whole scene. And you know like they'll be like, oh, you want to go to this club? It's – you know, 100 pesos to, or 200 pesos to get in, which is like 10 bucks, which is like, you're going to, and that's a lot of fucking money that you're going to pay 10 bucks to go fucking dance the city shitty. But then like on the flip side, like the dive bar scene, like cats just drinking beer, that shit's dope. But like they have like the underground party scene is like the real fucking shit. And it's not even like underground rap. It's just like, oh, we're not dressing like that. It's right. just like the counterculture scene is like very like anti like rich kid shit. And it's and those are the best fucking parties. Like ham on everything. But imagine like a ham on everything party where everyone's just fucked up off of all kinds of shit, dancing to reggaeton all night till 3 or 4 in the morning.
Right.
That shit is fire. Like it's like some City of God shit. Like you're in a fucking warehouse. Just sweaty dancing, like to Latin music or club music.
How did you infiltrate your way into that scene? Like, who did you meet that kind of like started introducing you to the movers and shakers of Mexico City?
Yo, well, the crazy thing is, like, my connection within like the Mexico music scene started 3 years or almost 4 years ago. Now we played me and Ty took Ty Beeper King. We went down to Tijuana to play a festival.
Shout out Westside Ty.
Westside Ty, the legend. We went down to Tijuana to play a festival called All My Friends. Mm-hmm. And it's a fucking amazing festival. And we met a lot of this really dope like a garage surf rock band from Mexico City called Los Blenders. Those are the homies. And I met this dude, Lau, who's in this electronic crew called Naffy. Now, Lau and their squad, it's electronic music. A lot of like it would kill Low End Theory because it's like glitch.
Shots fired.
Yeah, it would go over kidding. There. No, not like yeah, it would, right, right. It would like kill, go over
would,
so well.
It would kill at that.
Yeah, like it's so bass heavy. Like the drums glitch, and it's like electronic, but it's with tribal, cumbia, salsa rhythms, like soca rhythms. It's like indigenous rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Like over electronic, and there's no shit like that. And they throw the best parties in Mexico.
Mm.
So I met those cats 4 years ago. Now, when I returned to the city 4 years later, Naffy is worldwide now.
Mm.
Naffy is like Diplo wants to be Naffy.
Mm.
Like Naffy is like doing boiler rooms and tours in Asia and Europe, and like now all of a sudden the eyes of electronic music are on Mexico City, and like people want a piece of what they got.
Mm-hmm.
But those are just the homies, and they're just like, "Yo, you live here? That's great! Like, come to the party." And then on top of that, and a lot of local. The crazy thing is, like, a lot of the rappers from the city knew who I was before I moved there
because it's kind of neat.
No, because of a lot of reasons. Yeah, like, right. Oh, you wrote...
Oh, you're fucking Speaky F Babe.
Yeah, you wrote this song that was big here.
Right.
Oh, you're Mexican-American and you're like... And you're really good at rapping.
Right.
Which is... I guess it's still kind of a rare thing. Right. I guess. I don't know.
Shots fired at Kid Frost.
Yeah.
You're just starting mad beefs today.
No.
I'm kidding. Go.
But, yeah. Yeah, so it was like... It was fairly easy, and also... So I'm not gonna say like I didn't have a little bit of a head start,
right?
Because I knew people,
right?
Just from my travels and journeys, and it's been very receptive. And then I started throwing a rap party down there. It's like the only spot in the city where you can go and you could like hear the new Young Thug or Migos because the people want it, but the classism is so heavy. Like clubs and bars don't play that shit. Mm. So when I'm like, yo, I want to throw this party, people are like, oh, that's that ghetto music. Like they have a word for it in Spanish. They call it, it's called naco.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like using ghetto as an adjective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you play that naco music. You play that like ghetto street music.
Like a white girl saying, it's so ghetto or that's
yeah,
so hood.
No, it's the worst. And like there's been instances where I'm DJing my party, my club that's fucking packed to the brim, and everyone a whole crowd of Spanish speakers are jamming out to Migos and Young Thug. Then I get some fucking clueless, like, fresa preppy girl, like, rich girl come up to me and just like, Porfis, can you play Justin Bieber? Porfis?
What's Porfis?
It's like por favor, but like it's like the slang for like the rich. It's like the like, oh my god, like right, whatever, right. Like bye. It's like instead of por favor, Porfis?
Right.
Can you play Justin Bieber? This music is knocko. And then I'm saying, well, get the fuck out of the club then.
Bitch.
Like, what the fuck? Like, and it's like you're a Mexican person telling another Mexican person in a room full of Mexican person that this is ghetto.
Right.
Like, what is going on in your fucking brain?
Right.
But fuck the negativity. All positive, gang. No, and so yeah, like, we start throwing a cracking party. Yeah, and
right. Down in the DF.
Down in the DF, not down in the DM. But now...
What does DF stand for?
District Federal.
Ah.
Like, but now... To get rid of, they had this whole campaign because they're trying to brand it like the six or something. DF is now CDMX, why? City Mexico, to make it like come to CDMX, like, and it's like this big political thing. And I fucking hate that branding. But like everyone's like people who are from there is like, nah, this shit is DF. This shit's DF. DF. But so that's how I kind of like got in, just collaborating, like just being out, like same, you know, you just meet people and they. And they embrace me, you know? The only time I ever felt like any kind of like negativity or hostility is from like people in Mexico City who like think they have more money and status because they try to flex on you. Like, it's a very like in your face kind of classism. Like, I'm ew, like that's ghetto, or oh, like you don't dress like this. You must be poor.
Right. How's the Jesus look working out for you down there?
I think it protects me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm walking through the hood.
Because like, the hair is longer than I've ever seen it right now. Yeah. And the beard is really long as well.
I think that's why like people are like, oh, don't go to like Mercado Sonora. That's like the witch market where they sell like the Santeria and shit like that.
Because if somebody gets a piece of your hair.
Like, yeah, and they're like, yo, don't go to Tepito. Don't go to Lagunilla. Don't go to downtown at night. Mm. I'd be walking, like, and I'm not saying it's not dangerous, but... I'm aware. You just got to be aware. You got to know where to go, where not to go. But I think a lot of, like, nobody fucking with me has been like, oh, like, one, he's speaking Spanish, you know, even though I always get people talk shit about my Spanish all the time. Like, ah, you're fucking Chicano. You're Spanglish. But
right. Explain that, the Chicano thing.
Oh, but hold on. But I think it's because I look like Jesus. I'm protected.
Okay.
Because they're like, yo, we can't rob him or shoot him because, like,
that's Jesus.
We're cursed.
Right.
Like, yo, like, we can't fuck with Jesus, right? But no, but that's a thing. Like, and that's like a theme on the album. You learn there's a difference between being Mexican-American, being Mexican, and then being Mexican-American in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's different. Like, I get clowned all the time because, like, my Spanglish or like, you know, people like...
Because you didn't grow up in, like, a Spanish-speaking house, did you?
Yeah, my dad spoke Spanish, okay. My tia spoke Spanish.
Okay.
But, like, in Southern California, you speak Spanglish.
Right.
It's a Southern California thing. It's, like, a regional thing. Or I have friends in Texas who speak Spanglish. It's just... Right. And, like, I have fucking three languages going on in my house. There's a lot to process.
Right.
but... Yeah, people will be quick to be like you're you know, not, like I get called a güero all the time. Like, oh, güero, Americano. Like, my taco man, I don't know why, but he calls, like, because we've talked about, like, wrestling and stuff, and he has kids, and he loves wrestling. And because I'm American, every time I come to the taco stand, he's like, he either calls me güero or, hey, John Cena. I'm like, yo, first off, I don't even fucking look like John Cena.
Right.
Two, that strikes a chord because I fucking hate John Cena.
Right.
And three is like, is that the only American, like,
right.
Is that what you equivalent, is that, like, what you equate being American to? Like,
I don't know.
Having being buff with a crew cut and jean shorts.
Right. Every time I go to this taco spot, like, I don't think the name Lee, like, really translates in Mexican or, like, in Spanish. I said it in Mexican. I'm an asshole. Translates. Yeah. Oh, dude. So every time they don't know how to spell, they don't know how to spell Lee. They're like, they spell it L-I or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, Lee, L-E-E. And they go, oh, Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
And so then when I get my tacos, they go, Bruce Lee. Every time. It's so funny. It's not like they remember me. They just go Lee. And then they're like, oh, Bruce Lee. All right.
Lee.
Yeah.
Just tell them. That's next time. Tell them that. Ele?
L-A-A.
E-E.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like Hawaii. Ele, makulaku kamehameha. Hadouken!
Oh, this podcast just got so problematic. Shout out to my Uso homie. No, I'm just fucking with you. I'm kidding. You get so offended.
Yeah, I don't.
Speak.
Because you're all right. You and Panther. All right, Panther.
No.
Misinformation.
No.
Alternative facts.
Alternative facts, fake news.
Speak is the king of alternative facts. How do you think he gets these hot women out of his league? You know, it's just all alternative facts.
Oh, shots fired. Let's hear about it.
Stop. I'm going through a bad breakup right now. Not bad. I'm hurt.
Are you sad in the DS?
Yeah, sad
I'm
boy,
healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad like the album's out. Like, and I'm back in LA for a few days to like do press stuff and like be cool and like not be cool, but just like be busy.
Right.
Because I'm like, man, it's like if I didn't have this like press trip lined up, I'd probably be at the house right now, just like really sad,
crying.
Maybe, you know, crying is the most. Is the manliest thing you could do. I think crying and taking care of your kids is the most, like the most manliest shit you could do.
What if you're crying while you take care of your kids?
That's even more beautiful. I seen DJ Khaled cry when his son was born.
Listen, ladies, Speak is out here single and he is ready to mingle. He's feeling sad tonight, so if you want to talk to Speak, just hit the hotline at 424-2... No, I'm just kidding.
We're taking dedications.
We're taking dedicated.
Yeah. Sad girl from Gardena wants to dedicate. I'm your puppet.
Right. This is not your puppet. This is from Maria to her man, who's in jail right now, but she's sending you a kiss.
Mwah! Yo, my brother's in jail. He used to call into Art LeBeau all the time.
I fucking love Art LeBeau.
Yo, Smokey Robinson used to have a show, I think, on K-Earth or one of the stations. And my brother Nicky from jail, we used to listen to it on Sundays. He called in. I was a little kid. And he called in. And he's like, his girlfriend's name was Alma. I'll never forget that. He's like, yeah, this is Nicky up in Chino. You know, I'm Smokey. I want to dedicate. I forgot what song it was.
Right.
He's like, I want to dedicate, you know, such and such song to my Haina Alma, cause Smokey, I've been a love fool, bro. And Smokey's like, well, all right on, player, we're gonna play that for you.
Oh shit, that's too tight.
And my dad's like, I think that's your brother. So,
you know. Oh man, how's your fam doing? Do they ever come visit you?
No, but my dad's trying to. Yeah. My dad's trying to come down, but. It's weird. Like, he spent a lot of his life there before he came to the States, so he hasn't really been back, not for a long time, like maybe 15 years, 20 years. But yeah, they want to come down, but my dad's be on some other shit. Like, you know, my little sister had a baby, so now like my dad's like fully loving being grandpa.
Really?
My dad loves that shit. He loves like.
Are you Uncle Speaky?
Yeah, but I'm like absentee Uncle Speaky because like I don't be around for like my niece. I have my brother has a baby and my sister has a baby.
Weren't you like? Didn't you have like funny stories about your little sister? Like,
dude, straight like she's chola, like a, no
yeah,
eyebrows.
Yeah, I
like,
remember that story. I didn't want to say that. No, but like, I felt like I remember you telling me that.
She and I don't really understand why, but you know that's a whole nother fucking thing. I just don't understand like why, like especially. Because she's so much younger, you know, like, she didn't have to go through the hard shit that we had to go through. And, like, by the time I was out of the house, like, my parents, their shit was together, the money was right, they had a house, you know, they're working hard, like, they're very loving, they're not abusive, they're not drug addicts. So I don't know. People have their reasons, but I don't know, she's just really wild out. Like, she wanted to be a little chola, I don't fucking know why. She wanted to shave off her eyebrows. I don't know why. Shitty stick and poke tattoos. I don't know why.
Mm.
But she has a kid now. And yeah, my dad just loves being grandpa. I think like it gives him something to do.
Mm.
He's totally down for it. My mom loves that shit too. But I feel bad for it because I'm just like, damn, you guys are done raising kids. You guys should be done.
Right.
But I don't think a parent's job is ever done.
Right. So. Maybe this is a loaded question, I don't know, but both of you fellas are brown guys, and there are some new things going on with ICE, and the only reason I'm going to ask this question is because
what's ICE?
The Immigration and Customs something or another, but they're doing they're doing raids
they're doing
right now.
Sweeps
and so I, like this is not to say that I assume you guys have a bunch of immigrants in your family, but I know people. I've been hearing stories from friends about like their moms who have been here since they were 6 years old, who are getting like letters from or like getting knocks on the door from immigration officers and shit. Have you guys been having any of that since fucking Trump has been in office? Is it affecting any family?
No.
Thankfully not mine. Like, I think my whole family's like mostly immigrants. Yeah. But I haven't really.
No, I got some cousins here. You know, they're doing their thing.
Right.
But
I don't know, man. Like, I hear about that, but like, I feel like Obama did a lot more.
Well, Obama deported more people than any other president.
All right, Panther. I'm just saying.
It's like, a lot of people
like,
got deported.
I'm an Obama fan. I heard that before. And like,
a lot of people got deported.
So like my homie Nick showed me the statistic on like how many people he actually deported in his first year.
It was
like,
a lot.
It's crazy. Like, it was like over 2,000 people a day.
But those ICE raids are fucking, a lot of that shit is bullshit, right? Because dig this, man. Like, I heard they were at the courthouse in LA doing sweeps.
Right.
Because you can be, here's the thing, you could be an immigrant in this country, but
if you commit a crime,
but you could be here in the process of getting your citizenship or on a working visa or whatever, and you know, checking in with your caseworker and stuff, and just having ICE sweep through or ICE sweep through and be like, yo, like, yeah, handcuff, throw them in the van, deport them. That's like saying, like, okay, it's like the equivalent is like being like, okay, you're on probation. You did your time. You're in the system. Your file is in the system, and you're checking with your PO, and you haven't violated anything. Mm-hmm. You're going to your normal checkup meeting, and then a police just mobbing in on you like, yeah, well, yeah, we got you at the probation place. You're going back to jail.
Right.
For what? Like, for checking in? For following the procedure? It's fucking bullshit. It's horrible. I don't know what the fuck is happening.
You got anything to add to that? All right, Panther.
Panther voted for Trump. Let's just
That's
be
not
real.
Fucking true. Shut the fuck
no,
up.
I'm just kidding.
That is not true. It's I did not. True.
We did have a pretty like heated conversation in the car about people that are trying to partake and or exploit rap culture, which we all recognize ourselves as guests in, you know what I mean? Like, it is.
Yeah, I'm not a Puerto Rican teenager from the Bronx in the 70s. I didn't start this shit.
Right, it's our culture to appreciate and participate in with all humility. But there seem to be a lot of people that partake in the rap culture and are making money off of it that have, like, all of a sudden gone super alt-right, and it's kind of crazy to me. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Stop. Detach yourself. Like, take a step back and realize who you're profiteering off of and how you're getting your money. People talk about the culture this and the culture that, and you want to fucking do this with rappers and promote and throw parties and this and that, but you're not. But your politics are just very
oppressive.
Yeah, very oppressive. Go away. Go away. Take a long, hard look in the mirror and like realize like what you're doing is wrong. And it is wrong. But like people have been exploiting and profiteering off of, you know, poor black kids, poor brown kids since the jump of rap music. Labels, managers, whatever. But it's just like it's so fucking whack. Like,
well, just seeing like kids that were rappers now that are taking the super definitive like Donald Trump route is so crazy to me. Like, I don't understand how
they're racist and they don't don't deserve. I don't fucking care.
How you could be like a white
Big
rap
Alaska,
kid.
Mike DC. I don't give a fuck. Like, they don't deserve a place here. Like,
there you go.
I don't care if you have beats going and you rap and you have your little fucking. Your little white fans, like, yeah, build that wall. Build the wall. This art was created, innovated, being pushed by, and created as a means for people, the have-nots, black people, Latino people, Puerto Rican people, poor people to express themselves. And you have the fucking nerve to
say, yeah, we need more police.
And, right, to appropriate that art form, yeah, and then use it to push and a with political your fucking shitty rap,
your fucking shitty, half joking, half serious songs. Like, fuck you. Like, you're a fucking piece of shit. You're a racist. And I don't give a fuck because I know, like, Mike DC stayed at my house when Caleb was working on his music. And even, like, then I knew, like, you know, he was, like, fucking 18, 19, crashing at her crib on the couch. And even then I knew he was fucking fried. Like, yeah, I believe in reverse racism and, you know, this and that. I'm like, all right, bro, whatever. I don't like that shit. I don't like that shit. I don't think it's funny. Call me a cuck or a snowflake. I'll beat the fucking shit out of you. We were talking about this. I'm right. not.
I hate like, that fucking term.
No, but it's liberal tears. I'm like, you're fucking fat, drinking a fucking big gulp on a fucking computer, mm-hmm. not fucking doing nothing with your life. Right. I will beat the fucking dog shit out of you. Mm-hmm. That's on fucking God.
Let me tell you something. Speak out quick hands.
I'm fucking fast as fuck, and I hit hard.
Speak out quick hands.
And I'm just mad as shit, like, oh, libtard, your liberal tears. I'm like, first off, I'm a grown-ass man. Secondly, you would never say that to my face because I would slap the shit out of you. And I think, like, yeah, and, like, I'll say it, like, yeah, when I see, like, guys like Anthony Fantano tweeting, like, oh, no, don't boycott my, like boycotting Milo with violence. Yeah, that's real hypocritical. I'm like, yo, you're really showing your ass, and you're really showing that you don't understand what's happening to the rest of the world. And I'm not no fucking Chuck D. I'm not a Mortal Technique, but this shit is right in front of you and you can't even acknowledge it. It's just like, yes, obviously people dying on both sides is the worst fucking no one should be dying. We agree on that, but the fact is people are oppressed and you can't even acknowledge that. People don't want to go out and protest violently just to do it. Like, it's like a fucking, it's a breaking point. How much longer do we have to say, please stop killing us, please stop shooting us unarmed, please, or please stop profiling us because we're black or we wear a hijab or we wear a turban, please stop, please don't call me wetback, please don't, you know what I mean? Like, how much longer? This conversation has been going on too long. And to me, there's no middle ground. Are you with us?
Right.
Or are you against us?
Right. And I think even like subtly defending someone like Milo is like Milo Yen. What? How?
There's just like too much
shit out of him. If I saw him.
That's really like. I think that you're really on the wrong side of history if you're like even sarcastically standing up for that dude.
It's revolting. And I don't give a fuck how, like, I know who that guy is. I don't care. And that's the thing. I don't care, like, how frosted your tips are, how charming you are with your accent and your well-articulated bigotry. It's like, yo, fuck you. You're a racist. I'm not a racist. I fuck black guys. Yeah, you could still be racist. Right. And you are racist. You talk about free speech. Nah, man. Get that shit out of my face.
Go ahead. What were you going to say, Greg?
Nah, I was going to say, I feel like there's like a lot of like double speak, and like that kind of like ties into like what you're saying about this other dude and like how they try and use things to make it seem like you're contradicting yourself and all this right. bullshit. And like
false equivalencies and logic gymnastics.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And because and then the one thing that I could think of was that movie with the with the black women who were the mathematicians behind
Hidden Figures.
Yeah, that one. So like,
yeah,
there's a big ass billboard. I don't know. I don't want to really watch movies, but there's a big ass billboard for it, and I would pass it like pretty often. And like, I noticed like underneath it, it like had the tagline something to the effect of like the untold true story. And like initially when I read that, I just felt like. That was like really, it's like, it's a fucked up thing to say. Like, why would you put un in there when, like, you know, you don't really need to, like, you could just say it's a fucking true story.
Right.
Or that it's like a never before told story.
Right.
You know, to like put un makes it in a way seem that it's not fucking true. You know, and like, I know it's like really weird and like subtle, but like, I feel like there's just like a lot of shit.
A lot of double
speak. Like, where you like, you know, it's like when you read it, you go, oh, yeah, it's the untold true story. But like, later on, when you think back on it, like, you just remember un and true story. Like, you know what I mean? It's like shit. Like, it's like a pre-owned car. Like, that bullshit. Like, right. I don't stand that shit. I can't stand that shit either. Like,
I just
call it what it is, dude. Like, you
did
know,
you guys
like,
watch Hidden Figures?
I didn't see it.
Nah.
I mean, I thought it was a great movie, but even still, it had those tints of like, why is Kevin Costner always playing a white knight? You know what I'm saying? Kevin Costner, ever since Dances with Wolves, this motherfucker is always like
Waterworld.
He's always the white dude that's like empowering people of color, and it's like, thereby he becomes like the hero of the movie because he's letting people of color like do their job.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like shit like that.
Black people already have right. their fucking heroes,
right?
And we need more of them. Latino people have their heroes within
the fact that you
culture.
Can't say nigger on TV or on the radio, I feel like, is a huge disservice to the colored community. Mm. Like, you know, it's like, it is what it is, dude. Like, it was a fucking nasty word that people have taken and, like, reshaping into, like, something that's, like, empowering and uplifting, and then, like, you can't fucking say it. Mm. Like, you know, like, I feel like
But a white guy on Law & Order could say it. Mm. Or whatever fucking TV show. Mm. Sons of Anarchy, they be saying this shit.
Do they?
They've said this shit.
I've never seen something.
But like, yeah, it's like, dude, you turn on Power 106 and it's like every fucking N-word is bleeped out.
Right, right. Well, yeah, and just the mental gymnastics that people play with, like, the thing that's really been killing me lately is how racists will try to point their fingers at progressive people, liberal people, fucking cucks, whatever you want to call us, like, they'll point their finger and go like, oh, maybe you liberals don't understand that there are other viewpoints, and in trying to cover up their racism, you know, going like, maybe you guys should like listen and tolerate my views. Like, just because I'm a white nationalist, maybe you should tolerate my views. And it's like,
just
no,
because I hate
being
you
progressive,
and want you dead.
Being progressive does not mean tolerating hatred. Like, you are allowed to hate haters. You know what I mean? Like, we are allowed to disapprove of people that hate other people.
That's a little ping pong game they be playing.
Right. Like, and so you can't say that I'm intolerant because I don't tolerate racism.
They just want to make everything a gray area, you know? Where it's like, no, dude, you're wrong. Like, you're stupid. This music is trash. You know? Like, it is what it is, dude. Like, so don't be mad at me for being like, I don't want fucking garbage. Like, I don't want to live next to fucking people who hate. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a hater.
Right.
Like, there's nothing wrong with me.
I have zero tolerance policy.
Exactly. Like, that's the whole thing. Is like,
I have no tolerance for that shit.
It doesn't make you a hypocrite as a progressive to hate a racist. Like, you are allowed to do that because that person is pushing negativity and oppression in the world, and that's what we're fighting against. And also, as far as what you were talking about with like free speech, I love when people go like, oh, way to go, progressives. Way to go, liberals. You're being a bunch of hypocrites because you're blocking someone else's free speech rights. And like, nah, that's not how free speech works. Free speech is one of your given rights in the Constitution, meaning the government is not allowed to stop you from speaking. So the government can protect hate speech all they want, but guess what? The right to assemble is also a means of free speech, and it means that if you're going to be out there free speeching and talking about hatred, then it's perfectly legal and not violating your rights to free speech to go out there and tell that person they're a piece of shit and that they should shut the fuck up.
You know,
that's
it. The idea, the free speech idea thing, living in different countries and seeing like the different perspectives, it's an American thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a purely made up thing because
it's like the customer is always right.
Yeah, it's bullshit. Like, if I go up to like a random girl on the street and be like, "Hey, bitch, what's up?" Like, there's going to be a repercussion for me going up to a stranger calling her a bitch. She might sock me, mace me, slap me, or whatever. Nothing is free.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is free, and this free speech thing is designed for us to fight against oppression.
It's designed to be able to talk about the government without fear of arrest.
Yeah.
Or without fear of detention.
And people are like, no, it gives me my right to wave my Confederate flag and
I can
call you
say
every
whatever
slur
I want. Right. I can
I'm
say
like,
whatever.
Yo, yes.
Cool. If you want to say whatever
yes,
you want.
Yes, and I could walk into a bank with a gun and say, give me all your money.
Right, but there's going to be repercussions. Yeah.
And that's how life works, right? So this notion that...
So if you want to go out and free speak, speak freely about hatred and push hatred, like, don't be surprised when a massive people protest and it becomes irate and it becomes violent. Like, that shit happens because when people get together...
the breaking point.
Right, and that's the thing is that when a group of people get together, groupthink psychology takes over, and if one person pushes somebody, then guess what? An all-out fucking war is going to break out. Yeah, that's just what happens.
We're living a real, I could feel it in Mexico. I could feel it in Mexico. I could feel it here. It's in the air. Obviously, you know, you could feel it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like this palpable thing. Like, oh shit. Like, shit is fucked up.
Right.
Shit is fucked. And well, things have been fucked before, but it's just like. Like, it's a joke. You turn on the TV, every day it's something.
It's kind of cyclical throughout history, like, when things start to feel fucked up again. And, like, the reality is it always feels fucked up while you're living in it. And then you look back in hindsight, and you're like, oh, it didn't feel as fucked up then. But at that time, it felt fucked up. Like, I mean, just watching, CNN put out that documentary, like a long documentary about the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah,
and, like, dude, it was fucked up in the 60s. In the 70s. All the exact same shit that was happening then is still happening now. And we feel like we were taught that it all went away or that it's all been resolved.
That's what I'm saying. That's how they get you. Like, yeah. they don't allow you to talk about it and really, like, you know, bring it to the forefront and be like, yo, like, this was wrong. Like, enslaving people is fucking wrong. Degrading people just because of their fucking skin color is wrong.
It's an illusion.
So they just like, yeah, they try to make you forget about that by like, oh, the N-word's a bad word. We can't fucking say that.
Or, oh, like, yeah, everyone has the right to vote now. Like, all the slavery and that makes,
or not even,
that makes
it's
up
just
for
like,
the misogyny and
or
the
it makes
oppression
up for the, like, voter
women.
Suppression that they fucking been doing for the past, like, you know, ever like 15 years or however long, dude.
Since the right to vote was given. Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
Always been voter suppression.
I made a comment on Facebook a while ago, which is number one, probably the worst thing.
Yeah.
You
just
can
stay
do.
Off Facebook.
Dude, I deleted my Facebook app and it's been the best thing ever.
Yeah. Cause you,
I didn't even delete my account. I just left it. Just don't go on it anymore. Like,
you out all these horrible people and their whole horrible opinions. And I see my little brother, Andres Negrete, my little brother. His name is Andres, not Drew. Not Drew Negrete. His name is Andres Negrete. I seen my little brother's, his best friend growing up was this white kid named Alex Middleton. Good kid. Like, whatever. He's a kid, you know, whatever. He's my brother's little friend. Now they're adults. And I said, like, yo, like, I don't have no tolerance for this shit. It's like, you're with us or you're against us. And I seen my brother's childhood best friend, his dad, some fucking redneck who never left Moreno Valley, like, comment, like, Trump 2017, make America great again. I said, his name's Kerry. Kerry. I was like, America was never great for people of color. America was never great for women. America was never great for the Asian railroad workers, the migrant farm workers, for slavery. America was never great for anyone other than Christian white people, and now y'all are fucking mad because you got to share, and y'all don't want to share, and you guys don't want to, you guys don't believe in equality. White is, in that sense, when you say make America great again, that's a fucking synonym for white. Great is white when these people are saying it, and they might as well be saying white power. Because it's like, it's horrible.
I don't know, man. I feel like it's just,
I know.
I feel like it's really just the top, like, pitting the middle and the lower against each other. You know? Like, I think that's why, like, all this shit is. Just,
it
like,
is,
even
but,
even
right,
to the white people, they're like, they're like feeding them propaganda.
Even,
you know,
poor,
like,
white people think, oh, we're with the rich whites. Yeah, we agree,
no,
with
saying.
Them. But
exactly.
They're not.
They're not.
Trump don't give a shit. Nobody in that Rex Tillerson, all, they don't give a fuck about nobody. Right. You look at that crew, that cabinet, right, when they're all together, everyone, and they are repulsive. Like, it turns my stomach. They look like disgust. They look like demons to me. And not because they're white, but because you can see with their little plastic smiles and like their pale skin and their bad tans and their fucking dumbass suits and their haircuts that they have fucking evil inside them.
And their skin masks that are just barely covering their reptilian skin.
Yeah, dude, it's evil, man. It's like, it's evil. It's evil. It's evil.
Speak, tell them about the moon base.
I don't know about the moon base. Apparently, there's like I just heard about this the other day. The homie, Nick, was like, yeah, there's a moon base. And they got Nick, come in here. We got to have Nick, who plays guitar on
bass
for us live. Yeah. And he's on the record. Really great guitarist, great musician. He told me about the moon base yesterday.
Is it on the dark side of the moon?
No, let me make sure the left is on the left and the right. I mean, they put the L and the R on the headphones.
For a reason.
Yeah, and so there's people in this world who will be like, oh, just put them on. Put the L on the R and the R on the L. What does it matter? You got two ears, but, you know.
Yeah, get it right.
Well, the first thing is that we're not on the moon, so obviously we didn't make the cut. We're not on the base.
Right, we're not there.
If you don't know about it, there's a reason. Yeah, if you knew about it, you would be there.
Yeah. Well, then how do you know about it?
Well, I keep my ear to the skies, and I can hear all these things bouncing off the monoliths on Mars and stuff. So, I mean, it's out there. You can tune in. You don't got to be on the other side of the moon to hear the stuff and see the stuff. It's in you. It's in your genes. We're all human.
Huh.
It's all right there. It's just inside you. You got to read a book, you know. But, yeah, there's people on the other side of the moon, and, man, they know stuff that, I'll tell you what, the whole reason they're up there is because there's water in the moon. You know what I'm saying? There's water on Earth. People are like, oh, so what? There's water on Earth. We can take the water off of Earth, right? Yeah, but the moon is smaller. They got less gravity there. It's cheaper. Pull it off the moon. You can go to Mars. A million years ago, there were people on Mars.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, at least a million, probably more.
Wait, so are we on leftist conspiracy theories or rightist conspiracy theories right now?
I mean, it's like multidimensional
conspiracy.
Yeah, there's no left or right on this.
Well, are the people living on the moon base, they're just like elite Americans with wealth and connections?
Or I'm not sure how you get up there.
Or were they chosen?
You know, it's like everything else. You know a guy, they know a guy. Like,
this podcast has gone completely off fucking rails. I have no idea what we're talking about at this point.
Somebody asked about the moon base. They wanted me to get on here.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, they're listening to the monolith that's on Mars. There's this moon that goes around Mars. And
it has a monolith?
Yeah.
Huh.
Phobos, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a potato. Goes around Mars like every 8 hours.
How did you find out about all
this? I watch the stars. I look at the sky. Yeah. I pay attention.
You what? This is the Joe Rogan podcast. Yo, this became too much. Are we going to talk about kettlebell workouts next?
What do you know about that? I don't know anything
about
that.
Does Joe Rogan still talk about that? I know he used to. Okay, never mind.
So crazy things are happening.
Hey, man.
The whole point is just, you know, take a look at the sky every once in a while.
Yeah. And just listen to the world
just
around
listen
you.
To the stars, man.
Yeah. You know, not to be like the irate, like, Latino Mexican guy. Like, I'm just like, I mean, you know what? I think my political stance is neither left nor right. I am neither snowflake nor snowman.
See, that's the thing.
Be a good fucking person.
Right.
Be good to the people around you. Be nice to your neighbors. If you can help someone out, do it.
See,
do it without intention.
I will say like that.
And mind your fucking business.
I don't do the whole like I'm not left or right. I'm independent. No, I'm a fucking leftist, period. And I have been ever since I understood the difference between the two.
Yeah.
I think libertarianism is bullshit. And if you're a fucking libertarian, you're probably also secretly have problematic economic beliefs that are like borderline racism borderline racist as well. If you're somebody trying to tell me that America is not a racist country, that it's a classist country, you're wrong about that because
Kanye.
Because even poor whites, they think that they're not poor. They're just fucking they're just a one lucky break away from being a millionaire. You know what I'm saying? Like, and what's holding them back? Oh, it must be immigrants. You know what I'm saying? Like, America's racist as fuck, period. I'm not a centrist. I think that my empathy leads me to believe that we should be helping those that are being oppressed, period.
It goes everywhere, man. People on the moon think that they're better than the earth people. They're looking at us earthies like, yeah, you're earthies. You're still down there, man. I feel bad for you. These they don't deserve to be
what
up here.
What happened
like,
here? What we're happened?
There's a reason we're on the moon. Yeah, we're better than those guys.
Yeah, yeah. So fuck those oppressive ass just, moon people. Yeah. All right. Well, we've gone off the rails here. Speak, it was good to see you and good to catch up with you. I don't get to see you enough anymore because
yeah,
you
I'm
live
happy
in Mexico now.
We spent the day together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out.
It was very fun. And Greg, it's always a pleasure to see you. I know you're not in the room, but.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out Dream Panther. Dream shout Panther. Out Speak Panther.
Speak Nick on guitar.
And Nick on Hello. Guitar and also communicating with the moon people while he's playing that bass, hitting them licks.
All about the vibration.
The window, that's why we keep the window open right there.
Yeah, well, Sun Ra believed in the interplanetary vibrations of music.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
See, listen to Speak. He's smart.
Hey, there you go.
Sun Ra.
So, Speak look, Panther. The by the time this comes out, it will be, I think, March 1st will be the date that it comes out. Shout out, that will be Greg's birthday, Dream Panther's birthday. How old will you be turning? Can you talk about that? 22. He's going to turn 22.
Yeah,
can you believe
sure,
it?
Sure.
He's from parts unknown.
The industry age.
Yeah.
So March 1st, the record will have been out for about 5 days at that point, 4 days at that point, because it's going to drop on February 24th.
Yeah, my birthday.
Oh, February 24th is your birthday. Yes. That's right, because your birthday is 2 days before my mom's birthday.
Hello.
And to this day... one of my a very early show of ours, or I think that maybe I just took my mom to a show that Verbs was throwing that you happened to be playing.
Bananas.
It was a Bananas, and you were like rolling around on the floor screaming and tried to like I think like kind of freak on my mom for a second, like freak dance with her.
I did not know that was your mom.
Yeah, and to this day she still goes, "Oh, how's Speak? Tell Speak I said hello." And I said, "Mom, you need to cool your fucking jets, Mom. You need to calm down with that one."
Hot mom.
So
she's mad cool.
Yeah, my mom is cool, but her birthday is right after that, so I know what I'll get her for her birthday.
Yeah, the Speak send her
the Speak Panther record. I'll send her a dad.
It's
hat.
Coming. Yeah, send her a dad hat, a mom hat.
Combo.
What's that?
Get her the merch combo.
Look, I like how Greg is just off.
He's over here
the
pitching.
Merch
Greg,
combo. Yeah,
Greg's telling everyone to buy the merch. He's not even on mic, and look, he's holding a bong.
If you guys,
you can still hear him in the recording in the headphones. I hear him though.
If you just hitting the bong.
If you guys are listening, you can go to what's the website where they can buy you guys' package deal.
It's going to be speakpanther.bigcartel.com.
Speakpanther.bigcartel.com, where you can buy hats, shirts, all kinds of
shit,
CDs,
like, you don't even have to buy the album.
Stream it on Spotify. Do all that.
Yo,
stuff.
Yo, Greg, I think this
just
is your turf. You
put it on continuous
right
loop
here.
While you sleep for six right. hours.
Yeah, that's what I tell people too.
Like, that's a great like. That's a good.
But Spotify will catch people if they're doing it, and then they'll put your record, like, or they'll flag it or something. Like, because people have tried that strategy.
Yeah, just put it in your head. Think about it. Speak Panther. You'll find it. Speak Panther.
On the dark side of the moon.
Well, I'm bouncing it off the moon back
to the monolith.
Yeah. No, but it bounces off the moon through the earth.
Nick, what's your moon Twitter?
He doesn't have a Twitter, dude.
No, I'm like, I'm real slow when I move.
Yeah, real slow.
I'm on this moon gravity shit. Though.
Okay.
I'm a,
if people want to follow you, Speak, where can they follow you?
Where can they find you, your music? He plays in like 10 bands.
Just look at the moon and think to yourself, Speak.
You've heard, I'm telling you, Nick's the secret weapon to Dream Panther, dude. All those crazy cool licks you heard.
Yeah, that's
I'm like the, what's the harp program? What's it like? The one where they bounce it off the Aurora Borealis? Harp? I think it's called harp, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, NORAD.
High altitude Aurora Borealis like frequency thing. Yeah, that's I'm the secret. I'm the secret like that, whatever you call that. Yeah.
So Speak, where can people find you online?
At Speak with a Z at the
with
end.
A Z.
Speakz.
Not the band, the rapper.
Yeah. Speak with a Z at the end. That's Twitter, that's Instagram. Don't even just, I fucking hate Facebook. Don't even log on to Facebook. It's a horrible place for horrible fucking people.
Yeah, it's become a cesspool.
And see us in real life, March 16th.
March 16th.
At the Echo.
2 weeks after this airs, you will be able to see them at the Echo.
And it's going
to
be an amazing show.
I will be there hanging out.
There will be ticket links in the bio for the performance video.
Greg, my man, Dream Panther, where can the people find you online? Get in the mic.
You can find me, Dream Panther. You know, just spell out Dream Panther, two words or one word. It's all there. You know, I got Google and iTunes and Spotify and Snapchat. And
yeah.
I have a phone number and an email and all that stuff, too. So, you know, you can just like...
What's your phone number?
Wait, hold on to me. Look, I can't remember.
I have a phone number.
A number.
No, you have the hotline, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's 323-487-9187. You can send me a text or
323-487-91.
What is 87? 9187, yeah.
Dream Panther hotline.
Hit up Dream Panther. Leave him a message.
Lines are open.
Yeah, no, for real. Like, so yeah, you know how to reach me. Just Dream Panther, like, you know.
You know what it is.
Yeah.
Think about it.
All right. Well, I listened to some of the record in the car. It sounds fucking fantastic. It really thumps.
We did it. We fucking did it.
It's got some singing. It's got some danceable tracks. It's got some fucking bars, and it's got some big kicks. So, okay, guys, my name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. You can follow my man, Ben Shin, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, space with two S's. Follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat, and go to kindaneat.net. That has been recently redesigned and looks very beautiful. You can find all of our content there, very well organized and presentable. YouTube.com/kindaneat, where you are going to see Speaky and Dream Panther perform, and Nick as Speak Panther. They're going to be doing a little medley, and go look for their new record. And Facebook.com/kindaneat. And remember, if you are a weekly listener, the biggest thing that you can do to help us keep the lights on around here and help us keep food in our mouths and shoes on our feet is to go to patreon.com/kindaneat. That is patreon.com/kindaneat, and pledge $1 per episode or $3 per episode, whatever you want to pledge. But kick in a couple bucks, because you listen and we enrich your life, and we talk messily about politics on the air. And without further ado, I'm going to wrap this up by saying my name is Lee. That was Nick Speak and Dream Panther, Speak Panther. And this was officially Kinda Neat. Yee!